Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in lesson 141, and last time where we began chapter 13 of John, speaking about the foot washing, and we're going to continue the subject today. And we spoke about the importance of the foot washing from God's point of view, the entirety of the concept, not just the facade of it that some people practice to this very day. And that's all it is, just a facade. They don't have the full comprehension of the concept, the reality of it. And it has to be a genuine thing, and this is what Christ was talking about. He was not speaking about a ceremony, he was speaking about the genuine thing. You see, that entails everything that goes into it. He was talking about a real situation. And it is a real situation that he wanted his disciples to practice, just like Abraham did. You see? And so what he was doing to them is to show them, just like Abraham, who was the master in his house, and the master is the one that went and did it. You see, he didn't let just one of his servants to do it. And so did Lot, and so did all the humble people, all the children of humility, all the genuine people, all those whose heart was circumcised, all those who were obedient to God, they themselves would do. Not that in every case they've done it, but that was added to the head, and they did it oftentimes with their own hands. They did wash the feet of the weary travelers. When they were very hospitable in the heart, they went all the way, and they brought them in, and they had them refreshed, and they took care of them, and they fed them, and they entertained them, and they took care of their needs, and they lodged them for the night. You see, there was a need to a few nights, a few days. And so it's far more than just, mere meaningless ceremony that many go through. It doesn't mean anything. You go through it and in a few seconds it's all over, and then what? What does that mean? It's not what Christ had in mind. What he had in mind is the totality of the concept. You see? Just like the circumcision itself. What does it mean? A little act, a few seconds, it's all over. You see, it's what it signifies that counts. From now on, you are going to walk in a way of life, of righteousness for the rest of your life. And so the hospitality reflected also an attitude that was in the heart, that was a way of life. And so when he did it by nature, and it was a real thing, and it was not a meaningless ceremony, ceremony, just because you're supposed to and everybody does it. And as it is, in the past 2,000 years, maybe it was done differently in the old days, but it's not done properly today. The foot washing today, what is it when you think about it? People come and they wash their feet before they come for the service. It's an artificial ceremony. They all go through it. Nobody comes from the road as a weary traveler, wearing sandals, dirty feet, smelly feet. See what I mean? That's a real thing that Christ was talking about. Hungry. Needs lodging, needs company, needs to be refreshed. You see, we don't do any of those things. So the whole thing becomes a meaningless ceremony. That's not what Christ had in mind when he was talking to his disciples or when he was giving them an example about the foot washing. He talked about the real thing. And you see, that's something that you do any time that you have that opportunity when travelers come to your home. This is what he was talking about. He didn't make a ceremony out of it. And you can see that the apostles, in essence, in the writings, did not even mention that, with the exception of the apostle John. Luke was very meticulous in writing all the details, did not mention it. Mark didn't mention it. Matthew didn't mention it. Paul, when he talked about the Passover, didn't mention it, because they knew what Christ was talking about, the real thing. Well, somewhere down the road, whether it was many years, few years, centuries, who knows? We don't know exactly when it started. Good intentions, obviously, sincerity, wanting to commemorate, this act, created this artificial ceremony of the foot washing. And the process totally missed the whole picture and the whole intent of it. It was an act to show the real thing, and to encourage his disciples to do the real thing, you see, to show real hospitality. You don't have an artificial ceremony, you know, of inviting a friend, you know, for a few seconds and tell him get out, you know, because the ceremony is over. You see, that's not hospitality. That's an artificial thing. So obviously Christ was not aiming at that. The real washing, the foot washing ceremony was a real thing. And so this is what Christ exactly was showing them, based on this whole concept and philosophy and hospitality and everything that went into it, and on the whole cultural background. This is what he was giving them to emulate, to be like Father Abraham, to be like their master, to be like all those good men, you know, good masters, that whether they be rich or poor, that were hospitable from the heart and welcomed, you know, those people that came, the weary travelers, from the heart, and washed their feet, as smelly as they were, removed the dust, did it with love, wasn't grudging, wasn't yuck, you know, I have to do it, and it stinks and all that, you know, go to my servant, you know, he'll do it for you, I don't want to touch you, you see. And there was hospitality there, you know, and generally they would have a party, and supper, you know, and so forth. So he was talking about the entirety of the concept. And unless we comprehend it that way, you know, we really don't get much out of it, and just a meaningless ceremony, and so it is to the overwhelming majority of people who go through it, and that's unfortunate. God doesn't deal with a make-believe religion, but the real one, the real thing. And so we read about Christ and supper being ended in John chapter 13 and verse 2, and the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's sons, to betray him. See, Judas was not circumcised in the heart. He was not a hospitable person because of that. He was not obedient to the law of God. So you see the contrast. You see? And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he that he had come from God and was going to God. Now, at this point, Judas is in that attitude of no hospitality, no love, no kindness, no mercy, no compassion, no willingness to serve the master. And so the foot washing again becomes even more meaningful in contrast to that attitude. And so Jesus Christ, knowing that the Father, we read here, Jesus knowing that the Father in verse 3 had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. Now that was unheard of. You see? Even though God demanded that hospitality from all and taught that hospitality to all, you see, and appreciated that in Father Abraham when he washed his own feet, he was going to teach them a lesson. And then again, you also have to have a background to what's happening here and why did Christ do it at this point and not at any other time. You see, you read it in the book of Luke. You don't see it here, but in Luke 22, you read the story there again. While they were eating supper, they began to argue about who is the greatest. So you're not talking about humility. You're not talking about hospitality. You're not talking about loving your neighbors yourself, but selfishness, egotism, love of power, covetousness, all qualities that against hospitality. You see? In other words, an attitude of uncircumcised person. That's what it amounts to. When you're circumcised in the heart, you're hospitable. When you're not, you're not. You know, your hospitality is grudging, and your foot washing is a meaningless ceremony. And so he's going to show them an example of humility, of love, of affection, of outgoing concern, you see? Not wandering about, you know, or vying for the highest position. And so, take the whole thing into context, then you begin to understand what is happening here. And so he rose from supper, and he laid his garments, and took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And you see the whole culture, the whole attitude, the whole concept of the foot washing now is being synchronized into this act that Christ is doing for his disciples. And what he meant by that is the totality of the law. He basically epitomizes in what he did here the fullness of the concept of the teaching, of the philosophy, of the way of life, of the hospitable God that we have, which is synchronized in the words of "You shall love with all of your heart and your soul and your might and your mind, both God and men." You see? And all that was synchronized here and epitomized by this act of the foot washing. And so, you see, it has to be the real thing. And in the meaningless ceremony, you do not have the real thing, and you cannot really capsulize everything into that. And since today we don't have this kind of a society where people come as weary travelers, you know, with dirty feet that need to, you know, to have their feet taken care of and all that, we have no comprehension of what it really means. We don't have an appreciation for it. And so we are even in a much worse condition nowadays in the modern time than a century ago, where you could still do things like that. But at least what we cannot do today, there are many other things that we can do. In the real attitude, you see, in the real hospitality. And so Paul even talks about that, and the whole Bible talks about hospitality and how it ought to be done. And so when Christ gave that, it meant the totality of it, everything. Now, you read in the book of Luke, in chapter 7, an example of a person, yes, he was willing to take care of this need of the weary traveler. He didn't do it himself. And so, he was reflecting an attitude there, and Jesus Christ took him to task. And many of us may fall into this category. In chapter 7, in verse 36, we read, "Then one of the Pharisees," that's the book of Luke, "then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him." So he's asking him, you see, but you know, before you ask somebody to eat with you, he enters into your home, he comes from the road, he's dirty, and you need to do the preliminary things, you know. And the beginning was, as he enters into your house, one of the first things that you do, beside the welcome, you wash the feet. Either you have the servant do it, or you do it yourself. And depending on what's in your heart, that will determine whether you will feel humble enough to do it yourself, showing love and affection and warmth, or whether you say, "Well, I'm above that. That's not for me. Let somebody else do it. You know, let the lowly servant do it." Well, in that you show your attitude already. You see? And Christ was showing here, look, the greatest people do it. They don't let somebody else do it. It's a real thing. It's not a make-believe. And so, he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. Now, of course, certain things happened before that, and the foot washing is one of them. And we'll find about it later on as Christ talks about it. "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil." I mean, you have to think about it. How did she get there? You see? So obviously there are many other things that are not even recorded here. "And she stood at his feet, behind him, weeping." And so you see, as he sits, I have to try to imagine, you know, the way it is. You sit down on the ground, you don't sit on a chair, and so your feet are behind you, the way you sit. And so she sits there behind him, where his feet are. She stands there, and then she began to wash his feet. And then obviously she gets down on her knees, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. Now this is the total concept of the foot washing attitude. "And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." Now when the Pharisee had invited him, when invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is." You see? That nobody. That's the attitude. Instead of hospitality, that nobody. That's nothing of a person. That's not a hospitable person. That person didn't have the foot washing attitude. That person didn't do the real thing because they didn't have the foot-washing attitude. You see, when you have the foot-washing attitude, you do the real thing. You need both of them. It's not just a make-believe. You see? The law of God is not just spiritual. You don't say, I'm spiritual, I don't need to keep the Sabbath or do this or do that. I'm spiritual. That doesn't mean anything to God. See, that's what James and that's what all the apostles are making very plain. You got to do both. Comes from the heart, and then it is manifested by the physical act that you're doing, or by your actions, or by your thoughts, depending on what it is. And so, first he puts down Jesus Christ. He says, this man, if he were a prophet, that means he's a nobody, would know who that nobody is. And now he's touching him, for she is a sinner. Oh, how horrible. Well, obviously she was. She was not denying that. But you see the attitude? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to ask you. So he said, teacher. Well, first he says, you know, that man was a prophet. Now he's false humility, addressing him as a teacher. Say it. And he says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? You see? So that, again, becomes an element of the foot-washing attitude. Love. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you will do it. It's as if you are doing it to yourself. Not many people have this attitude. And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. That's how arrogant this man was. You see? He did not even wash the feet of the master. And whether he let one of the servants do it, we don't know. But the point that he's emphasizing it, you didn't do it. Maybe the servant did it, but you didn't do it. You didn't have that kind of a love that this woman is displaying. You gave me no kiss. So part of the foot washing ceremony, you welcome somebody. And that was a part of the tradition. And you see it to this very day in the Middle East. Not only you invite the person, not only you wash their feet, you give them a kiss. That's a kiss of welcome. It says, this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. See? And the kiss you give generally is on the head, on the cheeks. So this person is kissing the feet. That's the foot washing attitude he was talking about. You see, this is a real thing. It's not a make-believe. And she said, he said, she did it since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. That was a part of the ceremony. You see, the foot washing, the kiss, refreshment, food, anointing the oil and all the hair, and so forth. Total refreshment of everything. You see? And so when you think about the foot washing, if you don't understand the whole concept behind it and everything that it entails, it really becomes a totally meaningless ceremony, and I don't know how much God appreciates that. And therefore he says, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to him little is forgiven, the same loves little. And that's a problem with too many of us. In our concept of the foot washing, our what we are doing, and the whole thing is very little, you know, as far as, you know, in the sight of God. It does not really consider it much. But until that, you know, let's say if we go through the symbolic act, for those who go through the symbolic act of doing it, if the entirety of the philosophy is not behind it, and the way of life, and the love, and the affection, and the warmth, and then the loving hospitality, if everything is not there, it's totally meaningless. You know, and God is not in this business of the meaningless religion, of the symbolic religion that is meaningless. That's not a part of his way of life. And the anointing of the head is, again, you know, was done by another lady. You read it in Matthew 26 and verse 7, this time before the last Passover. And there again she did it. It was another woman at that point, and, you know, the disciples were unhappy about it. You can read that story. But the point is that when the foot washing that Abraham was doing for God and the two angels, and for all the other travelers that came into his tent, you know, being a man of hospitality, was just like the circumcision. The circumcision was a physical thing, it was a hidden thing, but your actions showed to everybody you are a circumcised person. You see? And when you are circumcised in the heart, in everything that you do in life, that is reflected. And so with the foot washing also. And this is what Christ was showing to his disciples. Just like Father Abraham. Just like all the good men that do it. Just like maybe themselves that did it to people that came to their homes. And so he's showing them that when the master does it, if I the master, you see, as he tells Simon, then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? You see, that attitude was not in Peter as it should have been. He did not comprehend it. He didn't understand the fullness of what Christ was talking about, the foot washing, not just the meaningless ceremony. You see, which it became, and to begin with, it wasn't a meaningless ceremony. It was a real thing every time it was done. And that's what he wanted them to do. Anytime. It's not a yearly ceremony. You know, you don't show hospitality once a year. He never commanded his disciples to make a yearly ceremony out of it. People did. And to begin with, they did it, you know, in a meaningless manner. But that's not what he was talking about. That's why all the other disciples did not even mention it. Because they knew what he was talking about. The state of mind and attitude, that you do it at all times. As often as you do it, just like he said about the bread and the wine, as often as you drink it, think of me. And so the foot washing again. Think about the attitude of the master. And as he walked, so you do. At all times. Every time you have a guest. As Paul later on would say, you know, don't be grudging hospitality. And so Jesus said, in answer to Peter, what I'm doing, you do not understand now. See, it's not a meaningless ceremony. It's full of meaning. And it's not a ceremony to begin with. It's a real thing. But you will know after this. And so Peter, at this point, still doesn't understand. He says, you shall never wash my feet. Of course, he doesn't understand what's really behind it. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see, now the hands and the feet and all those things were being washed to the weary traveler, and the head was being anointed with oil. You know, total care that you give to the person that came into your tent, so to speak. That shows your heart. That's basically what it was. So it was a real thing, not a meaningless ceremony or symbolic one. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. And so he tells him in verse 12, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for I am so. If then your Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What is he talking about? A symbolic ceremony? Once a year? On a yearly basis? He's not talking about that. You see? He's talking about the entirety of the philosophy behind it. Every time somebody comes to your home, go all the way. You see? And in your attitude with each other, have that attitude of the foot washing. It has to be a real thing. So I said, I set you an example. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. And so this is what he was epitomizing here in what Abraham, Father Abraham, was doing. That the foot washing attitude was a reflection of a heart that was hospitable, that is willing to give everything. And so when he studied the whole culture of it, maybe he can go to the library and get some books about the period of time in Middle Eastern hospitality and all those things that people were doing, or maybe read some commentaries about it, you begin to see the entirety of the thing, the whole thing. And as I said today, you know, since we do not have this way of life, we're not agrarian, we do not have these circumstances where weary travelers come, and then we have, you know, to wash their feet, and not that we have to, we want to, we love them, You see? And therefore, so much more so even lost the appreciation for it, for the whole matter. And so when we go back to the scriptures, and we study it, and we study the mind of God, and we study all these examples that were written for us for admonition, then we begin to emulate all these things. And as Paul makes it very plain, be it to the ministry or to all the brethren, you know, for the ministry, he said that one of the qualifications of a minister is a person who is given to hospitality. I read in 1 Timothy 3:2. In other words, he is the master, so to speak. He is the teacher. He has to be in that state of mind, has to show that example that when the brethren come to his home, to his tent, he should run toward them, bring them in, wash their feet. Really, you know, not a make-believe ceremony. Real thing. You see, feed them, care for them. And be the kind of a person that is willing to anoint their head, you know, and show hospitality from the heart. You see, that's a real thing. It's not a make-believe little ceremony once a year. People are even told, you know, wash your feet before you come. And some people, they come and don't, you know, especially ladies, they don't have socks on or things like that. So it'll be easier to go through the ceremony and make sure everything is clean. There is no smell of feet. You know, the whole thing is really meaningless because it's not the real thing. To begin with, this is not what Christ commanded. That, you know, on a yearly basis, you know, have the feet washing ceremony. Something, as I said, was invented later, and then, you know, when you do something on a yearly basis for a long time, you begin to think that it is a holy thing that was commanded by God, and we must do it. And if we don't do it, there's something wrong with us, and we forget the entirety of the matter. It has to be a real experience, not a make-believe one. And it has to happen whenever it happens, whenever guests come by. Your hospitality should be there from the heart. That was the intent of it. And if the society is different where you don't do it, or if you are in a society where it's still being done, because society is different, more agrarian, you know, let it be the real thing, not the artificial thing. And so Paul also says to the brethren, you know, to the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. How do you begin to entertain strangers? Well, you go through this whole process. You see them coming, you run toward them, you bring them in. You see? Nowadays, you know, you have to make an appointment to go to someone to have dinner, or somebody will say, well, we got to get together and have a meal and all that, you know, and generally it never happens. And if it happens, it's the artificial way. It's not the genuine hospitality. When they show up on your door, you know, step, this is when the hospitality takes place. You see? We love that art of hospitality. Now they have to let us know in advance, so we can prepare in advance, and, you know, everything is ready and prepared, and the house is clean and all that. That does not show hospitality. That's an artificial one. You know, that's partial hospitality. What Christ was talking about, what Abraham was doing, was the real hospitality. Whenever they show up, you welcome them in. You don't say, oops, I'm not ready, the house is not clean, you know, I don't have anything in the house. You see, that's not real hospitality. So that's how far we strayed away from the genuine religion that God gave us, the pure religion. And this is where we are today. And so it says, do not forget to entertain strangers, and speaking about angels, it says, because some people entertain angels, speaking about Abraham, and others, and Lot, and Gideon, and Jephthah. You see, all these people have done that. And many others. So he talked about the real, genuine hospitality, and without grudging, and as I mentioned, another place. And so, think about all these things when you study the scriptures about the foot washing of Father Abraham, and then what Christ did later on. And then you'll begin to appreciate really what is happening here. And in contrast to that, you look at the ceremony that we've had for so many years among the churches of God, and of course they've had it for the past 2,000 years, or maybe less than that, whenever they started this custom. There is no indication that the apostles have done it the first year, or the second year, or the third year. We don't have any records of that. We know that later on it became a reality, and mainly in the church that became known as the church, and we know it as the false one. Now, whether they did it or not, to commemorate that, it's neither here nor there. And if you do it today, there is nothing wrong about it, if you want to commemorate that symbolic act. But the reality is that Christ is not interested just in symbolic acts. Even the circumcision itself is not interested in the circumcision just as a symbolic act. He wants the real thing. You see? He wants us to live life in reality and not just a make-believe. An awful lot of people, when they read the scriptures, with good intentions and sincerity, they take this deed of Christ or that deed or whatever it may be, and they do it also with Moses and others, and they make a big thing out of it that God never intended for it to be, and they make-believe religion out of it, and this is not what God intends for it. He wants to be worshipped in truth and in spirit. And so when he contrasts the reality of what the foot washing was all about, I mean the real act of it, when somebody comes to your home, dirty feet, needs to be relieved, needs to be refreshed, and you show him hospitality, you bring him in, you kiss him, you welcome him in, you make sure that his needs are taken care of, you have a special meal for him, and you show great hospitality. Well, there you have the real thing. And this is what Christ was talking about. And he wanted them, you know, his disciples, to develop this attitude in everything that they do. To have the same attitude like Father Abraham. And what you find today, and what we have been doing in the past, especially in this past modern time that we have experienced for many years, we have this little ceremony, we come together, and as we go through the foot washing, you know, it's an extremely artificial one. You wash somebody's feet you don't know from Adam, you probably never meet before. If you happen to go to a big congregation or visiting another congregation, or if you are in the same congregation, it's a small one, you know the person. Well, what do you know after that about that person? And when you go through the symbolic ceremony, what have you done, really, in terms of the reality of the totality of this concept of the foot washing and everything that goes into it? And we don't find ourselves going through this reality where we kiss the person, we welcome the person, we wash their feet, you know, that are dirty, that are in pain from a long journey, that need to be relieved, and wash them, you know, with our own towel. Generally, we wash them with their own towel. That's a custom that we developed. Everybody brings his own towel, so we use their towel to wash them with their own towel. You know, so all that basically becomes meaningless. And that's not the real foot washing attitude that Christ was thinking about. And we don't welcome them to a dinner, and we don't provide them for their needs, and we don't lodge them for the night. And so this whole thing, oh yes, you know, it's understandable. People want to be sincere and commemorate that one, but when you realize that the way of God is a real way, it's not a make-believe way, and he's not interested in make-believe, a lot of people don't really show a genuine hospitality in the foot washing. It's just something they have to do because everybody does it. You see? It's not a real action. And God is not interested in make-believe. Our heart is not in it necessarily. You know, we just do it. It's a routine. Everybody does it. We do it. And you don't know who the person that is going to be sitting in front of you that you'll do it for. Well, anyway, if we can remember what the foot washing is all about and really do it from the heart as Christ meant for it to be and go through all those elements that are related to it, then this is what he was talking about. And if it's not, you know, wasted our time. And this is not God's way. Anyway, we continue with the account where Abraham is not doing the real thing. He's inviting them. They come from their journey. They come to him. He invites them. And he is going to wash their feet. And he does that because that's the reality of the hospitality. And so many things are involved in it. You see, this is just the beginning. First you run toward them. That's the beginning of the foot washing. You welcome them. And that's what he did. And then he tells them in verse 3, my Lord, as he speaks to God, Creator, but if somebody else came, he would have done the same in the sense of the welcoming and the foot washing and the feeding and all those things. And he says, in this case, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. You see, that's a real foot washing attitude. And all these things have to be included. All these are the ingredients of the same. And that's what Christ was talking about. Not a make-believe ceremony. A meaningless one. It's not something you do once a year. It's something you do every time you have a guest that comes to your house. So to make it a one-year ceremony, you may have made it totally meaningless. That's in essence what, unfortunately, sometimes well-meaning, yes, but people who do not really study the matter deeply to really understand what's behind it and do it properly and teach it properly and do it that way. So they make a make-believe religion out of it and becomes a religious act, and people think, well, this is holy and that's pleasing in the sight of God and that's the way we should do it. Well, that's what Christ said. That's what the God of Israel said. The fear of me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments, you know, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And this is one of those commandments of men. And I think it's all in vain, unfortunately. At least on the part of many. And so it says in verse 4, let now a little water be fetched. And he's the one that's going to do it. He's not going to make them do it, obviously. And wash their feet. So he's offering them the foot washing and all that comes after it. And he says, and you recline yourselves under the tree. In other words, sit down. I'm going to prepare a meal for you. So you see, the foot washing is not an act that is just taken out of context and done by itself, and you just go through the ceremony just, you know, to fulfill your obligation and to show that you're humble and all that. You know, all that becomes meaningless. You see the contrast. And so he says, you recline yourself under the tree. In other words, you relax there under the tree. In those days, obviously, if you live in a tent, you don't have a banquet hall. You sit outside. That's where everybody sat. That's where they generally pitched their tent, next to a big tree. And everybody ate outside. And much of the activity was done outside, and reading and studying and everything else. Until time to go to sleep, and then they went into the tent. And so he says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and stay you your heart. In other words, take care of your needs. Refresh yourself. And after that, you shall pass on. Now, did he give them only a little morsel of bread? See? Some people think, well, just do the minimal, and that's all that is required. You see? And that's what we do in that foot washing ceremony. Just a tiny little bit, you know, the minimal of it, you know, just to fulfill our obligation. Now, this is another foot washing that Christ was talking about. And so he said, I will fetch a morsel of bread and stay you your heart. After that you shall pass on for as much as you are come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said. So they accepted the welcome. Everything was there. You see, it was not a grudging attitude on his part. It was total welcome, and so you appreciate it. And any other guest would have done the same also. This is not a unique case in that sense, in terms of the hospitality. All in terms of the personality that was here and those who were with him. And so verse 6, and Abraham hastened. Now he's getting into full gear. You see, that's again, it's a part of the foot washing. Whole thing is one big, you know, package deal, so to speak. So when we do the foot washing, we have to realize what Christ was talking about. The real thing. The whole thing. Not just a tiny little symbolic thing. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran himself. He didn't send a servant. You see, that's a part of the food washing attitude. Abraham himself, 99 years old, an old man, he ran into the herd. Could have sent one of the lowly servants. No, he went himself. Because you see, foot washing has to come from the heart, and you have to be involved in it, and you don't delegate it to somebody else. And so Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the servant, and he hastened to dress it. Everybody was in a hurry. And he took curd, that is cheese, and milk, and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they did it. Now, in this account, you have an awful lot of knowledge and understanding and things behind the scene here that are happening here. You see the attitude on the part of Sarah. See, a lot of people nowadays, the way we developed in society, we're apart from each other, we do not have natural affection anymore, we're not hospitable as the old societies used to be. You know, you go to someone, you have to call and make an appointment. They have to prepare the house, clean the house, make sure everything is neat and clean, and no last minute. You know, in many societies, they still do it that way. Or you come whenever you come. I remember growing up in Israel, you know, you came, you rang the bell, and that's it. There you were. Nobody ever said, well, why didn't you call? Why didn't you make an appointment? You know, you weren't invited. You see? They still retain a good measure of that hospitality in the Middle East. But you cannot do it here. In this country, even with the same people that came from there, and now they learned the ways of the heathen, and now you have to have an appointment to go to someplace, and things are totally different. Well, anyway, he goes to Sarah, and she doesn't start complaining. Well, how come you didn't give me a notice? You know, I should have prepared. You know, I'm not ready. You know, I have nothing in the house. That's not real hospitality. We have lost real hospitality. It's not in our nature anymore as it used to be in the fathers, in the ancient times. When even to this day, there are still a lot of societies that are still very hospitable in that way. But we have lost it. Because we got too much and we have been separated by our riches from each other. And so now we are not affectionate by nature. We are foreigners to each other, even our own relatives. And they have to have an appointment to come and visit us. But not so with Abraham and Sarah. He just ran to her, he told her, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it. So nothing is ready, so you're going to prepare all that and make cakes. Now, mind you, all these things take time, and to go and get the calf, you know, and bring it over and dress it and cook it and all that, you're talking about hours. See, that's hospitality. Much of the hospitality you have nowadays is, you know, sort of a quickie. And get the meal, eat it, and get it over with, and go to your place, and, you know, that's enough. I had enough of you. A lot of people are that way, unfortunately, when it comes to hospitality. Well, here you're talking about hours. And here is God. We're not talking about an ordinary person. All ordinary persons also went through it. All relatives, all foreigners, all sojourners, whatever it may be. And here is God and the, you know, the Creator, the one that became Jesus Christ, sent from the Father, dealing with Abraham, and the 2 angels with him, maybe Michael and Gabriel, we don't know. And they sit there for hours, and they sit and talk. You see? That's hospitality. And the process, you know, you go through the ceremony, you know, foot washing, and, you know, and he's washing the dirt from their feet, they're removing the dust, you know, the cold water, and they feel comfortable, they talk about it, you know, he dries them with the towel that he has. So you think about all those things, then you come to that foot washing in John 13, you begin to understand what was really going on and what was the intent of the whole thing. Then you begin to comprehend what foot washing is all about, and hopefully do it likewise. And so Abraham runs into the herd himself. He does all that, you see. He's exerting effort, and so much goes into it. In other words, it's not a tiny little, you know, ceremony. You sit down there, you know, and you take your own shoes off, you take your own socks off, and somebody will, you know, just, you know, throws a few drops of water on your feet and washes your feet and then dries it with your own towel, and then you're gone. Maybe he never sees you again, or maybe he never talks to you again, maybe he never cares about you again after that. You see? That's vain religion. That's empty thing. I wonder why people are the way they are. I wonder why we have the problems that we do. We're not bonding with each other through all this real foot washing that Christ was talking about. We're foreigners to each other. Just sort of high and by, and, you know, a few little comments, you know, trivia, a conversation, and that's the extent of our fellowship. That's not foot washing. And so Abraham runs into the herd, and he gets this tender calf, you see. When you love someone, you want to give him the best, and the best was always a tender one. the young one. Not too young, or God forbid that practice, which we'll come to it later on, but an older one, in terms of, a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it may be. That's something that is very good. And when it gets older, it's a bit tougher. So that, again, is an element of the food washing. You give him the best. Something very good, very tender, very juicy. And he brought it to them. And he had it dressed. And with it, look what the meal is consisting of. And of course there were other things too, vegetables and bread. But the main ingredients that God wants to stress that were here was the meat and the cheese and the milk. And he gave it to them and they ate it. And well, now that creates a problem for the Jewish rabbis that came later on. And we shall discuss this problem in the next tape. We are reaching the end of the tape here. So again, this is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.